fine. It's not a big deal. We'll work through it. The text this morning is going to come out of Genesis chapter 1. And I appreciate the reading that was done because it culminates with what we want to discuss today. And if we look in Genesis 1, we see that Genesis 1 is the book of the beginnings. That's actually what Genesis means, is the beginnings. And when we look at this, when we think about it, Moses is given a large challenge. And God says, write these words. That's a task that any of us would... that better, Bruce? That would be a task that any of us, when we look at it, that's a challenge. To have God speak and say, I want you to write these words. And he writes these words so that we will have what we need to know and to understand what God's plan is. God was very intensive in his word, and when he starts, he says to Moses in chapter 1, and start beginning in verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God. So he lays the premise right there. I, God, was at and before the beginning. As you, mankind, know, I was. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So we can see in verses 1 and 2 that the creation record teaches many things. Also teaches in 6 days, God completed his work. And as we read this morning in verse 31, he said, it was very good. So let's see each day what God did and what we can learn from those days of his creation. So we look in verses 3 through 5 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. When we think about that, God spoke. And it was. There was no doubt. There was no hint. There was no wavering in it. When he spoke, it happened. And he said, let there be light. He gave us the lights. He separated the light and the darkness for a purpose. And we know as mankind that we appreciate the day, but we also appreciate the night. As we sang this morning, some of the songs that Cliff led this morning, I asked him to lead. But there were points in there that we sing about and we talk about. And we understand the warmth and the sunshine. We understand the light that we get from it. But especially during the heat that we've had, which is kind of unusual for Oregon, we enjoy the cool nights. We enjoy when the sun is set and having a cool breeze and being able to open the windows and let the breeze come through the house. Or to sit outside and enjoy it. But we understand the value of the darkness and the light. And we see the beginning of morning. We understand evening. And we understand that was the first day. Then in verses 6 through 8, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the water from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. So we see that God takes and creates that which was there and makes it to have more purpose. He made the sky. And he separated the waters above the sky from the waters below the sky. So we see when we look at it, we think about the whole piece of him separating, making what we see and we appreciate and we value. To me, there's nothing more. I really enjoy seeing a sunny day. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care if it's hot. I just enjoy sunny days. But looking up into the blue sky and enjoying it and seeing that creation. And I don't mean to sound flippant, but when God took the earth, I picture and have for most of my life just like a painter takes a canvas. And the painter takes the canvas and puts on those ideas that's in their head and in their thoughts. My grandmother painted for most of my life, and her favorite thing was to take her canvas, go out and see what she wanted to paint. She would freehand it onto the canvas. And then she would go home a lot of times and she would finish the picture because she knew, okay, this is the outline. I know what colors, I know what design I want. And she would be able to do that. And I don't mean to put them in the same light, but that's the way I picture that the world was done. God sees all that he has done and all that he is going to do for mankind. And he creates and develops a place for us to live that is a temporary location. So we see that in the second day, he made the sky, he separated the waters, and again, that was a second day. Verses 9 through 13, God says, "Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plant yielding seeds and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day." So we see that he separated the waters and created the land mass. So he, for a purpose, and then he made plant life and put the plants upon the earth. And when it talks about it, it doesn't talk about that it took years and years and years for it to develop. And most of us know that if we plant a tree when it's small, if we water it and feed it and take care of it, it will grow and develop into what we would see. And so we just sang in one of the songs, the redwoods. If you've ever gone to the redwoods and looked at them, they are amazing trees. Old trees. But they are amazing. But God made them that way. He designed them that way. But he also said, okay, I'm not going to just put them here. They're going to be here for a purpose. They're here and they're going to produce after their kind. Later on, we'll see that he put all these plants here for us to be able to use. He had a plan for us. So we see that he separated the earth and the seas, made plant life, and that is the third day. Verses 14 through 19. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. You see, God at this point establishes the sun and the moon to do the job that they will do. So before it was light and dark. Now we have more specific. We have the sun and the moon. We have the stars. And we think about that. We think about that he spoke it and it came into existence. It should really be something that we think about and realize. We don't understand fully being able to speak something into existence. I was thinking while I was during the lesson that when I was in middle school, I took a shop class. I learned real quick that I was not real good at woodworking. But I tried. My father had been hunting one year, and he had gotten himself a deer. It was his first deer. It was a forked horn, so it wasn't very big, but it was his first. And I made a plaque for him to place those deer horns on. And I worked really hard to make that. And when I got done, I looked at it. It was okay. It wasn't good. It was okay. But it had, when I got done and looked at it, of course, every person that does their own work, and Dale would, I know, would understand what I'm saying. If you go out and look at the cabinetry work that he'd done out in the lobby, he knows where the flaws are. When we look at it, we think, wow, what a good job. What a great job it was done. He knows the flaws. I noticed the flaw. The point is off. So when I have this plaque and you get down to the point is off center. Now, the average person is not going to say, oh, when you did that, that's off center. My older brother did, but not the rest of the world. But because I noticed that flaw, it bothers me. But what God did has no flaw. It was perfect. It worked according to everything that he planned. So we see he sets the heavenly bodies, which we use today. We have used for hundreds of years the stars to navigate the seas. We understand that if we are in this section, these stars are going to be here and they're going to do this and they mean this and this is the direction we need to go. Far beyond what I understand. I know if you ask Doug Simmons about it, he can explain more and more to you. He would give you some more detail. But God set it in place. And we use it. And it was made for us. And we enjoy the thing that he created. Verses 20 through 23. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. So God establishes for us, and he created the fishes and the birds or the fowl. He put the fish to be in the sea. Made the land for the birds, for them to be able to be on the earth. And he tells them, recreate, multiply. Now, when we go out into the ocean, and there's, some of us will have been deep sea fishing. Some of us have worked on some of the larger trawlers that go out. We've watched shows where you know, they bring in, they put the nets out and they bring in these huge amounts of fish. And they process them on the boat and they get them ready to take back to land. I'm always amazed when you see that they, when they take that net and they pull it all together and they bring it up, how much is there? And again, it's God saying, this is what your job is. Recreate yourself and fill the seas. And he made them for us. He made them for a purpose. And we see this was the fifth day. Verses 24 through 31. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, when we consider this piece, that God made the animals. He made the land animals for us. So he had already created the fish of the sea. He already created the birds. And he makes land animals. And they're here for our purpose. And I was thinking about this the other day, that we have a lot of individuals here who like to hunt. I personally am not a hunter, but that's okay. I appreciate that they do it. And I'm excited for those that do it. It can be very rewarding. But they're for a purpose. And you have individuals say, well, how can you hunt Bambi? Well, you don't hunt Bambi. Bambi's not real. But God did create the animals for us. And they're here for a purpose. And when you talk to a wildlife management person, they will say, yeah, you need to have guidelines. You need to be able to hunt to thin out the numbers. Why? They're here for us. But there's also the other purpose of, if we don't thin them out, there may not be enough food for them to eat during the winter. They'll starve to death. So when we look at it, we think about, okay, God gave them here for a reason. They are here for us. And I was thinking, which is more humane? You ever hear a person, how can you kill an animal? How humane is that? Well, I would come back with, how humane is letting them starve to death? God gave them for a purpose. They're here for a purpose. Now, I'm not one that believes in just going out to slaughter just for slaughter. And I know real hunters would say, no, that's not what we do. That's not what, especially as a Christian, that's not what God wants us to do. They're here for a purpose. So he made them for us. But he put man in a place of a position of authority. Man, this is your job. You are to care for them. You are to take care of them. You are to use them, not abuse, but to use them for the purpose that I have established. That's your job. And there's times that I think that as humans, I think sometimes we do really well at that, sometimes we don't do so well. But when we have God as the focus, we realize I have a job to do, and I need to do it well. But I think it's really important that here in verse 31, God said it was very good. Previously, he talked about it was good. I really wanted to come up with a lesson that was designed for and talking about good versus very good. Good, and also in a sense of how we use it. Because there are times that I know we'll come up to someone and we'll say, how are things going? Oh, things are going good. Well, that good is much different than the good that God used. And then in verse 31, his point is that not only was it good, it was very good. Everything that God did was perfect. It worked exactly as he intended it to work. Everything fell into place the way it should work. When you look at what he did with at his position of how he created things, there's an order to it. There's a plan. Each dependent upon the others. If he'd not made the form, where would he put the animals and the people? Had he not separated the waters and the land, where would he place us? If he not separated the waters and the earth, where would he put the trees? Where would he put the things that we need to survive? There was a purpose. There was a plan. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we see a culmination of what God does. Chapter 2, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all of their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So the seventh day was something that had a very important piece for us. And when you think about it, God sets this up for us to realize, I have put things into place. I have made this happen, and I made it happen for you. I have created what you needed. I have created all the things that you needed. And that in his resting, we understand everything that he intended to do was done. I'd like you to think with me for just a few minutes, and I know our time is about over, but I'd like for you to realize that with it being very good, God's plan for mankind started. And when I think about Moses writing these words and hearing God speak about what he did and all the things that happened, Moses had to have been in awe of just thinking that God spoke and it happened. This is an individual that has the ability to speak with God in a one-to-one situation, which we don't have directly. We have prayer. Prayer is our one-to-one with God. And it's an important piece. But when you think about Moses and his writing these words, he had to have been in just awe of all the things that God discussed. When God created for us, he created us with a desire that we would follow him. When we think about that, he laid everything out and gave man the ability to think and to reason on his own. Man is different than any everything that God created. Man is the only being that God gave a spirit. Man is the only one that will return to God when this life is over. Man is the only one who's going to stand before God and be judged for the things he said, the things he's done, the person he is, and the person that he can be. But each one of us will go through that. And in that desire, he put in place things for us. And 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. Each one of us has a responsibility to understand that we will give an answer back to God. We will respond to him for things that we've done. And God desires for us to be in a positive relationship when we stand before God. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to stand before the Almighty God. Each one of us will be in that scenario. God created salvation for us. Salvation is found through Jesus, his Son. And Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. When we think about creation, we think about all the pieces that God put into place. He made everything for us as a reminder of who he is and who we are. We are here to serve God. We are here to be his servants. And each one of us has to make that determination. Each one of us has to look in our own lives and say, okay, where am I at? Who am I? Am I looking to serve God or am I looking to serve myself? That's the only two options you have. Right now you have the ability to say, okay, I want to change the relationship that I'm in. I want to enter into the relationship that God desires for me to have. And make the relationship a permanent relationship with God. But sometimes too, even in that permanent relationship, we humans know, we falter, we fall. We fall off the pathway. And we know, okay, God says, I will take you back. But I want you to acknowledge that I am God. I want you to acknowledge that I need to walk in your pathways. And if you're in that scenario, you need to say, okay, God, I need to submit myself to your will. I want to get back on that one pathway that leads to you. Whatever your scenario, whatever fits your life at this point, let it be known as we stand and sing the song.
To God's unchanging. unchanging.